Hey, Technorama is okay.
Hey, it's Fun Hour.
Really, why you keep calling me structured programming? 'Cause you got no class.
Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 70. And the last of the year. It's been a long year.
Yes, it has. Ever since June, it's been a long year.
I'm Chuck Tomasi, and helping me make a terrific podcast out of nothing is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Making podcasts out of nothing at all.
Don't start seeing Air Supply. Please don't.
Making podcasts.
I'm going to turn your fader down if you do that.
Oh, man.
That's painful. That's just too painful. Thank you for joining us. That's all we have for tonight. No, just kidding.
Yeah, good night.
Coming up on tonight's show, right after On This Day in Tech History, we've got our predictions for 2006. We've got part three of our Patrick Norton interview and a couple of interesting top 10 lists. Don't go away. You won't want to miss a single second of it.
Yeah, speed up.
On this day in tech history for December 30th, 2005. This is December 30th. It's the 364th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar, of course. Guess how many days are remaining? Yes, one! It was on this date in 1853 that 20 people attended a dinner party inside a life-size model of an iguanodon created by Benjamin Waterhouse Hawkins and Sir Richard Owen in South London. The USS Monitor sinks off Cape Hatteras, North Carolina on this date in 1862. Edwin Hubble announces the existence of other galaxies on this date in 1924. And in 1927, the Ginza Line, the oldest subway line in Asia, opened in Tokyo. On this date in 1940, California opens its first freeway, the Arroyo Seco Parkway. Also on this date in 1953, the first color television set goes on sale for about $1,175. And after 25 years, on this date in 1980, the longest-running primetime TV series, The Wonderful World of Disney, is canceled by NBC. The lowest recorded temperature ever in the UK was recorded on this date in 1995. The temperature was minus 27.2 degrees Celsius and was recorded in Altnahara in the Scottish Highlands. Happy birthday on this date goes out in 1899 to Helga Ingstad, the Norwegian explorer. And in 1920, Jack Lord, the American actor, played on Hawaii Five-O, if you remember. Famous for the line, "Book 'em, Dano." And finally, happy birthday in 1934 to John Norris Bacall, the American physicist. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for December 30th, 2005.
Hi, this is Cody from the Vinyl Podcast, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
Yes, you are, Chuck and Craig. Although
yep,
I think that
I'm here too.
I think that sweeper was made just before Craig joined. We got some feedback from Tim on ripping video. We were talking about ripping DVDs and converting XVID and things and how fast it was going on one computer versus the other. And he came back, and when I was saying that my 1.2 gigahertz iMac G4 was going faster than my 1.3 gigahertz iMac G4, or PowerMac G4, excuse me, PowerBook, and now I'm all confused. You send me an IM in there, and I get all messed up. I haven't turned off my... I just upgraded Gizmo today, and it returned on my IM noise preferences. It drives me nuts when it does that.
Yeah, it makes a different sound now, too.
It does. Instead of going, whoom, it goes, whoom.
Oh, the other one was like a slap in the face.
Scare the crap out of you. Anyway, back to Tim's email. It says, well, I would expect that the front side bus speed, RAM clock speed, and latency and hard drive speed would all be limiting factors in compressing large videos, especially if the PowerBook has an HDD less than 80 gig. I think I got a 60 in this one. Spinning at 5,400 RPM or less. I honestly don't know the specs on the hard drive or the front side bus or any of that other stuff, but yes, that all makes sense to me that the laptop would generally have lower power stuff, and it's a good point. CPU speed alone does not a fast computer make. You gotta have all the components that go with it.
Yeah, drive RPM does make a big difference, Lou.
Oh, I would imagine so, especially with something drive intensive and CPU intensive like encoding video.
Or gaming.
And we got a little tidbit from our buddy Kevin Devon over at In the Trenches, one of our friends in tech, found at friendsintech.com. Kevin said, another utility that might come in handy is iSquint or Handbrake Lite, and you can find both of these at iSquint.org. And I mentioned this to T. Morris just last night. As a matter of fact, he hopped up on Skype IM, and we were going back and forth, and he said, hey, I understand you've been encoding some video. And I started telling him my findings, which are still somewhat incomplete, because I've been using iSquint and Handbrake Lite a lot today. I encoded Wrath of Khan on Handbrake Lite, and that took about 2.5, 2:45. The runtime on the movie is just under 2 hours. So I'm generally finding it takes about 1.5 times the runtime of the movie to encode to a standard MP4. And then if I run it through iSquint, it takes about that same time, and it will optimize it for the iPod video. Now, the difference between Handbrake and Handbrake Lite is Handbrake, you can make bigger MP4s that you can watch on your laptop. Handbrake Lite seems to just squish down to little screen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, just before this show started, I finished encoding the wedding video that I made. We got married in 1988, and then 2004, I transferred all the VHS stuff, did some creative editing, and put it on DVD. So I'm ripping my own DVD. How many people can say they got married in 88 and carry around their wedding video on their iPod? How cool is that?
You got married in 88?
I'm an old fart.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not as old as some of our listeners, but...
I'm 36, and I got married 4 years ago.
Wow. No wonder they gave you the 40-year-old virgin video.
I have done far worse than kill you.
And
I have hurt you.
I will
continue to go on hurting you. Let me finish my con speech, man.
I will chase him around Perdition's flame. You know, a lot of those lines are from Moby Dick. They just kind of tweaked him a little bit for that movie.
Except for Revenge... Or the Klingon proverb.
Revenge is a dish best served cold. Here we are quoting Wrath of Khan.
A Klingon proverb.
It's not Klingon?
It's like a Russian one, man.
I know.
What is that? What's the other? Oh, in Undiscovered Country, where they're talking about Shakespeare and the original Klingon.
Yep.
This sounds funny.
All right, hold your kapla there, buddy. We got a voicemail to play.
Kapla.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, this is Mark in Memphis. Another problem with Citrix servers is everything won't run underneath them, and sometimes it won't tell you that. We had some Windows-based software we'd written, that was supposed to kick off some MQ series commands. The MQ series stuff wouldn't run in the Citrix. Hi, guys. This is Mark in Memphis. Just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Love the podcast and just want to say, oh, that's cool. Have a Marvy day. Oh, by the way, I got a question for you. I understand what makes it binary, and I understand what makes it five, but what makes it a high five? This is Mark in Memphis. Bye.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
All right, Mark. I honestly don't remember when we were talking about Citrix. I think it had something to do with remote control and sessions and logins and things a while back.
No, I think. Oh, I know. I know. I was talking about using go to my PC.
That's what it was. Yes.
As a replacement for Citrix.
And the answer to your question about binary high five, but it's where go ahead.
I got it.
No. The binary high five is done with one finger. You raise it, lower it, raise it. 101. When you do the binary high five, you have to raise your hand and go, take your index finger up, down, up. That's the 101. The how you make it a high five is where you stick that finger. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And as a follow-on to our video encoding and things, did you try StaxRip yet?
No, I haven't. I just saw that the other day. So, no, I have not.
Okay.
It looked interesting, though. And I think it's on the same idea as your Handbrake Light. But it's supposed to do different formats and whatnot.
Well, if anybody out there has tried StaxRip, StaxRip, we'd love to hear about it. We've got a link in the show notes if you haven't heard about it. And with that, we'll go on to... is this news? Where did you get this top 10 list?
Oh, it's been floating around the net. I saw it the other day. Actually, AOL posted their top 10 spam subject lines. Are you ready?
Fire away. I've probably gotten most of these in the year, and I'm going to keep track of them this year.
Well, but you actually got these products, or?
I'm leaving that to your imagination.
Okay. Number 10 is Donald Trump wants you. Please respond.
Wait, wait. He wants you in what way?
I don't know. I don't know because I didn't respond.
Hmm.
Double Standard's new product, the penis patch.
There goes our G rating.
Hey, it's a medical term.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Ruth. Next one.
Talking about being anal. body wrap. Lose 6 to 20 inches in 1 hour.
Okay, wait a minute. Is that contradictory to the previous one?
I don't know.
One makes you Never. Grow and the other makes you lose 6 to 20 inches in 1 hour?
Get an iPod Nano for PS3 or Xbox 360 for free. That's the next one. It's Lisa. I must have sent you to the wrong site.
Thanks, Lisa. Except that's not how my daughter spells her name. But
no. Here, here's the next one. Breaking stock news. Small cap issue poised to triple.
Poised to triple one. What?
I don't know. See number 9. Thank you for your business shipment notification.
Yeah, I get that one.
Yeah. Your mortgage application is ready.
I never applied.
I know. Yeah. Thank you, your $199 Rolex special included.
I get more Rolex. Excuse me, the water's going down the wrong hole. I get more Rolex email these days.
Chuck.
That's all the email I get. I mean, that's all the spam I get is the Rolex stuff these days.
Yeah, and here's the last one. An online prescription's made easy.
Yeah, it's all about the prescriptions, dude.
Yes, it is.
All right, moving right along.
Yep, I found this hard...
Sorry, I found some sound effects and thought I'd fire them back at Craig this week.
Oh, great.
We're going to make a Technorama drinking game.
Yeah, every time there's a sound effect, you have to take a drink. Here's the hard drive coffee table. Now, this thing is huge. It looks like some kind of a capstan or something off a ship.
It does. That is, I can't believe there were ever hard drives that big. What was the diameter of that thing? It was like 30 inches or so?
26 inches diameter.
26, and pad. I've got like a 16-inch right behind me. If you're looking at the webcam, you'll see it. I've got a 16-inch hard drive platter behind me, and I thought that was huge. I've never seen a 26-inch hard drive, and I have a hard time believing this thing wasn't fabricated just for this prop.
No, it says it was... let's see, it was a hard drive platter from an early storage device. The Control Data Corporation 6603 disk file control, disk file controller manufactured by Bryant Accello around 1967.
Wow. Did they say what capacity it was?
I'm looking at the numbers.
Probably like
here.
1 megabyte.
No, it was like a 5 or something.
Ooh, per platter?
Oh no, there's one big platter.
Yeah,
it's got a piece of glass mounted on top. Looks cool.
Why would they put the glass on top? You don't want to scratch the media in case you...
Well, I mean, it keeps... Yeah, well, if you don't want to scratch that surface, you just don't replace that. You can replace the glass.
I suppose.
So.
Yeah, you wouldn't want it to rust if you let a drink... Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it did say, not for sale. So I guess they don't want any... inquiries.
All right, I had a holy crap moment this week.
Oh yeah,
I was looking through some news articles, and someone came up with a top 10 list of podcasts of 2005, and I couldn't resist. I said, "This ought to be entertaining." What do they choose? It's probably going to be the same old Don and Drew and Daily Source Code.
Blah blah blah
blah blah blah. And I looked, and number 10 was Twit episode number 30, the one they recorded at the Expo, and there in big black and white sans serif font was my name in the description. I went, wow, that's cool.
And they got your name right.
Yeah.
From chuckchat.com, it says.
They should have put all the friends and tech stuff in there. But,
yeah, well, but you were the one talking, so anyway, I ran across that too. I was like, dude, you made the top 10 podcast list.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you run down a couple of the other ones that they had on there?
A couple of the other ones.
Quick.
All right, let me pull up that link real quickly. I don't have
here,
all the...
Here, I have the Twit number 30 live from...
Yep. Yes. I think you flitzed out on me there, buddy. Number 9 is Catholic Insider at the new Pope's coronation. That's pretty impressive. Ladies and gentlemen, we seem to have lost Craig. We'll be back in a second. Well, never mind. There he is. And then we'll continue.
Hey there.
Hello, pizza place.
I want an anchovy, please.
You're supposed to order a number 10 Twit Light.
Are we still on the show now?
Yeah, we still are. I never even had a chance to hit the pause button. You just called back, so this is going to be one of the interesting shows at the end of the year.
I don't know what happened. It was like your cell phone went dead or something, like you were using a cell phone.
Number 8, anyway. Jason Calcanis on the Web 2.0 podcast. We'll alternate here. It's your turn.
Okay, and number 7, Smart World podcast interview of Jessica after Hurricane Katrina.
Who's Jessica?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but they don't have our interview with the network guys that were keeping their network up.
Well, this isn't the smartest list. Yeah. Number 6, The Physics of Superheroes on Science Friday. Now, that sounds like something we should have covered.
I know. I was like, didn't we talk about that?
Physics of Superheroes. How do you know where you parked that invisible jet, Wonder Woman?
What's that? You're making me think of the joke about the invisible man just flew down and boy, my... Okay, let's move wrong.
5 is all yours.
DSC number 200 live at Gnomedex. I did see the video to this.
I heard it. It wasn't that good.
No, but it was kind of cool watching Adam Curry. He was standing up there, and he was starting to do his keynote, and then he's like, well, as a matter of fact, let's just do a show from right here. And he started doing his show from the podium, which I thought was kind of cool.
Number 4, Zencast with Thich Nhat Hanh in Vietnam. I probably massacred that name.
Yep.
I don't listen to that podcast, so I couldn't tell you if it was good or not.
I do just subscribe to the Zencast. You ever listen to it?
Nope.
It's kind of cool. Oh, no, wait. That's not the same one I'm subscribed to. Anyway, number three, Malcolm Gladwell on IT Conversations.
I think I heard this one. IT Conversations, most of their stuff is very good.
Oh, man, and they got so much stuff, it's hard to keep track of it all.
Number two, the Dignation Clip Show.
Yes. And number one, the Entrepreneurial Thought Leaders Podcast with Joe Liment, founder of CEO of Trilogy.
I don't know where they came up with that, but I'll take
I happened to miss that one. Yeah, I happened to miss that one.
It's not on, my, not on my subscription list.
I think it was inverted. Number 10 should be number one.
I think that's what I thought, too. I'm like, oh, we made number one. That's so cool. And I looked, oh, wait, it's number 10.
Well, I was looking at it and reading it, and I was like, you know, we must not be getting enough listeners because we did a bunch of cool stuff that should have made this top 10 list.
we are the crown jewel of the podosphere, and people just haven't found us yet.
We're diamond in the rough.
Hey, I mentioned that I have an iPod video and I encoded a whole bunch of the BSG shows. I am all caught up and ready for the second half of season two, which begins, what is it, the 6th or the 7th?
The 6th.
I am.
That sounds right.
So ready to find out. And I have a correction to make for Michael and Evo, of which I don't know if either of them still listen to this show. I know Evo used to. Somebody called in and said that Lucy Lawless played Admiral What's-Her-Face on the... what's the other Battlestar?
Pegasus.
Pegasus. Yeah, that's not Lucy Lawless. That's Michelle Forbes. Ensign Roe from Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
She did pretty good, didn't she? She went from Ensign to Admiral pretty quick in about 10 years.
Yeah, boing! Yes. Actually, you know what? I really did like her character on TNG. It was starting to grow on me.
Yep.
And then they kind of started writing her out, or very few and far between.
Other quick news. We got to move this along because we still have part three of our Patrick Norton thing that's going to eat up our other half of our show. Yeah. Other quick news. I'm getting a mixer upgrade, so expect more technical difficulties in the near future. Upgrading from
Hey, you'd think you'd already had it by now after tonight's show.
That has nothing to do with the mixer. That was Gizmo. Sure? Gizmo dropping out on us. Moving up from the Behringer Euro rack that I purchased back in May, got a UB1204 FX Pro, and I am purchasing Victor Cahiao from the Typical PC User Podcasts, Mackie VLZ1404. So I'm getting a couple more mic inputs, going from 4 to 6 on the mic XLR channels, and getting two more stereo inputs. Not that I'm shy right now, but it's going to be really cool to have extra inputs, especially if I do a live show or something. You know, when we had
I was going to say, Chuck, it's only you in there.
Well, when we had the hotel room cast, we were booked up.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right, strange story number one. Fire away.
The guys at Google order 250 pounds of silly putty.
That sounds a little... What would you do with 250 pounds of silly putty?
I don't know. They had a heart. The first thing they tried to do was pull it apart. You know, pull pieces off.
No. The first thing they did is put it all together. They got it in lump chunks and put it all together. And then they said, big mistake, because you can't pull this stuff apart.
That's right.
It's terribly cohesive.
That's what I was trying to get at, is they made a big blob. And when they tried to pull it apart, they used razor wire, whatever to try to cut it. It's just so cohesive, it's hard to pull apart.
It didn't come apart. Well, they eventually twisted and pulled it into various chunks, and they gave it to their people who ordered it, basically.
Mm-hmm. So yes, it's pretty big. I mean, you ought to see this. You know what it looks like? Did you ever see Galaxy Quest?
Sounds familiar. I may have, but I don't remember.
You know, Galaxy Quest, the one where Tim Allen's the captain of the ship.
Yeah.
You know that big rock.
I tried to avoid that.
Well, you know that big rock monster that was chasing him?
Yep.
That's what that looks like.
Okay.
That was a classic movie. You tried to avoid it? That was awesome.
Tim Allen in a space movie wasn't my thing. I think my kids were watching it one time and I went, looks really lame.
If you were ever into Star Trek, this would be down your alley. What are you talking about?
I beg to differ. But moving right along, Gizmag article.
Yeah,
this goes right up there with that big honking snowblower we had a little while ago.
As a matter of fact, that's kind of where this came from. I think there was a contest to show what you can do with a 345 Hemi. a 5.7. I don't know.
And I'm what did he build with a 345 horsepower, 5.7 liter Hemi V8 engine?
A barbecue.
What do you need an engine on a barbecue for?
Generate some heat, man. I don't know. Hey, did you go look at the link?
I did. The thing's beautiful.
Hey, well, besides that, the other thing that really caught my attention was the big wheel.
That looked cool, but how do you see past the handlebars? I mean, you're sitting down so low and you're...
You don't.
You can't see where you're going.
Hey, it looks like a big wheel like you would have when you were a kid, or maybe your kid had one.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, and of course, it's big for a human or for a person, but there's a big Hemi on the engine on the back. I'm like, that is so much... Like, I've always dreamed for something like that.
Don't stick your feet out while those front pedals are whipping around at 60 miles an hour.
Hey, I know we talked about Jumbling Billy one time, the morning show.
Yep.
They actually rode around, I think it was Bristol, the racetrack, in a shopping cart. It was, like, huge like that. It had a big engine in the bottom of it. I'll have to find a picture and stick that in there.
And, surprise of surprises, tell everybody what you saw in the elevator today.
Yeah. Well, there was this... it was yesterday. There was this this guy... I've seen a bunch of new iPods around where I'm working, you know, in the building. Anyway, I'm getting an elevator, and this guy has a video iPod next to me. And I'm about to get off of my floor, and I just happen to glance over the screen, and lo and behold, I see... The Technorama album art on the screen.
No, so
he was listening to our show.
How'd that make you feel?
Made me feel awesome. I was like, you know, I wanted to like say something to him, but he had the earbuds in. I was about to get off the elevator, you know. I didn't want to look stupid just mouthing the words, "That's my show." You know?
find out who that was.
I'll probably run into him again, but I thought it was cool.
Yeah, for the guy who works with Craig down in Charlotte, yeah. Thank you. Spread the word.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Yeah, stay on the elevator. Take your earbuds off in the elevator. I'll talk to you.
Send us an email.
Yeah.
And are we ready for the interview? Is that where we're going? My scroll bar slipped down a little too far. I can't tell where I am in the show notes.
Have you ever used a browser before, Chuck?
A browser. This interweb thing's cool.
Hey, real quick before the interview, I don't know how we are on time, but it don't matter.
Really bad.
Anyway, well, whatever. Anyway, the prediction, I wanted to go over a couple of predictions for 2006. Do you have any?
Not offhand.
Really?
Maybe, well, I know my first prediction will come true. I'm getting a new mixer. It should be in June 3rd or July, January 3rd. Darn these months with J's in them.
I have a couple predictions. I think that I'm going to have a new podcast coming up.
Am I losing you?
Yeah, I'm putting in my resignation. No.
Oh, sure. I get you a wireless access point and you ditch me.
Thanks, dude.
Just did it for the goods.
The honeymoon's over. No, I'm starting another show. I'm not going to talk about it right now because I want to finalize some details, but I should be starting it up shortly after the first year.
Does that have anything to do with Hello Kitty?
Dude! You weren't supposed to say anything.
All right, let's roll. I don't have a whole lot of predictions for 2006. Hey. I never was very good at that.
All right, I know Kevin Devin asked for this, but
Intel-based
what do you think?
Apple?
No, listen. Yeah. Well, listen, this last year, what do you think was the biggest story?
Oh, of course, it'd be Bill Gates getting knighted.
Oh, God. Actually, I was gonna say that I think Apple finally switching to Intel is probably one of the biggest stories.
That's probably a pretty big one. The whole Sony thing is a bunch of hoo-ha that's going to reverberate for a while.
Well, see, the Apple thing's got so much more implications. I mean, you could, with a little work, run OS X on an x86 machine already. I mean, you know, if they take it a step further officially, it could change the industry almost overnight.
I think Apple in general was a major impact in 2005. You look at that, you look at the adopting podcasts and starting video content through iTunes, just a whole lot of stuff that Apple has done. Very sure. profound this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, can we go?
Yes.
Now, pay attention in this interview, because at the end, we kind of gave it a twit-style ending. We bring you into a little private conversation at the end, and you know, in sections one and two, Craig asked a few questions, but he really gets his stride going in part three. You'll if you don't laugh at the end of this, you're dead. The SLR camera review? Well mm-hmm. done. I am really starting to drool over that stuff because I've been waiting for them to come down under $1,000 for a basic housing. I shot 35 millimeter for years, and I want to take the investment I made in lenses and bolt them onto a digital camera.
It's a good time for that.
It's getting darn close. I think my next purchase will no longer be a cheap 2-megapixel thing that I use for web shots only, but I'm going to start getting serious again.
I'm happy with my Nikon.
The Nikons are really nice. The D50 is probably the best deal out there. It's the images are fantastic. The Rebel XT is amazing. Even the, quote, you know, bad, unquote, SLR cameras that are around now are still pretty amazing in terms of the video quality they deliver. That's been one of the first reviews I helped out on when I first started working at a magazine called Windows Sources back in 1995 was a digital camera roundup. And I had to ship back to Kodak these camera backs that were designed to snap on the 35 millimeter cameras, and we had to insure them for kind of the wholesale value, which is about $27,000 each.
Owie. You know, leave a mark.
Well, where it left a mark was I got this angry call from the business manager for our unit, our business unit, and they're like, why did you spend all this money insuring these camera Kodak things? And I was like, well, they were valued at $85,000 retail, and they let us value them at $50,000 wholesale in case they were stolen, because we've had some problems with products getting stolen and shipping. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to be personally or have the company liable for $55,000. And the business manager's like, okay, that makes sense. All right, good, fine. Thank you. Click. And I was like, all right. Drive by accounting.
I get that all the time in my everyday job. Where do you film DLTV?
We film it here. We just converted over. We built a couple walls around some open office space here at the Ziff Davis offices. Ziff Davis Media, who's the publisher of PC Magazine and PCMag.com and Extreme Tech. And we moved down to the fifth floor here, built a couple walls, and started building a studio.
Yeah, I want to say
it right around us.
Yeah, it's nice to watch the show grow, literally, as you're making it. Because there was like nothing, and then after a while, there's like a wall with no sheetrock and just the supports, and then there's sheetrock with no paint, and you know, it's kind of come along as we went.
Well, we were laughing. Somebody's like, oh, we should take all the equipment up to the ninth floor, which is kind of like the main floor for all the offices for this building, and you know, we'll do it in the lobby, and it's got all this cool furniture. I'm like, nah, we're leaving the equipment down here. We'll build the walls around the set, and you know, it's one of those moments where it's like, that's so crazy, it might even work.
It's like the screensavers. You know, everybody appreciated the basement look, I think, more than the penthouse look,
the sleek TV set look. Well, we always were kind of a basement crew when you got right down to it.
Well, and that's who you were talking to most of the time, too, is the geeks in the basement.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the garage.
What's on your iPod?
That could take a while. Yeah. Yeah, first of all, because I own 5.
I knew that was going to come up.
Well, there was a reason for that. A's. There's no ABBA on there, I'll let you know, for those of you who've been watching. DL, not
yeah. Oh, my wife would be crushed.
Hey, I've got Fiona Apple on here, and I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of... somebody let the battery run down on this. Hold on a second.
Dancing
yeah, I was running Extreme iPod for a while, and a new iPod would come out, and you'd have to review a bunch of accessories. So let's see, the thing it's playing right now was X Live in Los Angeles. Phone's off the hook, but you're not. Mm-hmm. One of the great punk rock songs of all time. So we've got Madi's Yahoo on here. Nobody's Heroes. That's got to be... Boy.
How about your list of podcasts?
Stiff Little Fingers. Who's on here?
Technorama.
The 64mm vlog. I will be adding Technorama shortly. StreamTech.com podcast. What's new now? I guess because I'm doing the Q&A on our own stuff. I have the Lone Infected by Martin Sargent episode.
I know. I was going to say, whatever happened with that?
Well, I'm sure he'll do another one. Give him time.
Yeah.
I have a single episode of Tiki Bar TV. So I had to know what all the Tiki Bar TV frenzy was from the whole Twit crew.
Mm-hmm.
NPR Story of the Day.
That's a good one.
So this one, not a whole lot on this particular one. This is the iPod video that I just got, so it's mostly filled with video we were using for testing. Easy there, guy.
And that concludes our interview.
Really creepy over the headset.
It's the Audio Technica mic.
Easy.
You too can sound like Adam Curry.
It's not what I was worried about. It's not who you sounded, it was what you sounded like.
What's your favorite part of your job right now?
Favorite part of my job? It's fun. It's fun doing stuff with Robert. He's starting to get really comfortable in front of the camera. I think the favorite part of my job is figuring out how to get everything automated and all the encoding figured out. Because the nastiest part of what we're doing now is the sheer insane amount of time it takes to encode everything.
Yeah, you got like 10 different video types in there, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The iPod video format's the most popular. We picked up a huge, huge number of people watching it on iPod video through iTunes.
That's cool.
Or basically through iTunes, followed by the WMV, the H.264, MPEG-4, and then XVID. We got a lot of people who really like the XVID. XVID's been a nightmare for us to produce. I recently found out. Well, I was reading a series of emails savaging me for, the XVID generally trails the other formats because it's the least popular, so we do it last. Mm-hmm. And it also creates the most problems in encoding. And we found out, I basically answered all these emails. I answered like 25 emails one day, and it's like, great, I'm sorry, we're trying really hard. Got any ideas what software works better? because in one case, we did like episode 18, we're just finishing up getting an XVID format because we've had four different cases where it hurt. Or would encode completely, except there was no audio on the file, or
it's my wife.
Oh, hold on a second. Yep.
Honey, you coming home soon?
Hold on one second.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. The daily source code. It's not daily, and there's no source code. Hey. Discuss. Hey,
shh, here he's back. He's back.
Before we get off the phone, we're
talking about
what. If you speak of me, speak of me well.
You are a computer gadget geeky guy. If the following people were electronic devices, what would they be?
Oh, no. I'm so afraid.
We'll start with Leo Laporte.
An early Palm Pilot with the really cranky software. Actually, no, I take that back. He'd be one of those unspeakably cool, unspeakably functional Sony Palm-based PDAs that like, did everything 2 years before Palm figured it out.
The Clié?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were cool.
Fundamentally one of a kind.
I would say that about him.
He'd be pretty accurate.
Okay, let's go on to Kevin Rose.
Kevin Rose. Tech equipment? Man, that's a really good question.
Like a router.
I want to say one of those really cool vaporizers.
Like the Ionic Breeze kind of thing?
You know, like one of those. Hold on, let me look up the product name. They're like the 21st century way to smoke cigarettes, where you hit a button and it electronically zaps the tobacco.
He's a smokeless ashtray.
No, he's beyond that. He's just, I don't know. Kevin's funny, man. He's like one of the most bleeding edge people I've ever known,
I can see that.
Because he's like, he would, if Kevin was a gadget, he would sort of morph into a new gadget every 4 months.
Well, that's true.
Future gadget.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's somebody, he knows every function on his new phone, and he has a new phone every 3 months. You know, he
That's
lives
impressive.
For that. You know, maybe 4 months. You know, even when he, like, you know, had $8 to his name, he was still always jumping.
And now he can afford it.
Well, all his right. company can afford it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Not the same thing.
All yes, right. that's true. That's true.
Two more.
Two.
John C. Dvorak.
He's gonna kill me. I call
it
IBM 8T with a with a freaking dual Pentium 4 hidden inside of it. He's a sleeper. Truest sense of the word. Either that or he's like a network router because he's hooked up to everybody in the planet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
And finally, Robert Heron. There's a sound bite.
Man, I'm not sure.
No holds barred.
Maybe a 1968 GTO with an onboard MP3 and surround sound system. He's just, I don't know.
He's like a high-tech audiophile type guy, isn't he?
He's a high-tech videophile guy more than anything else. He likes the audio. He lives for the video. You know, he's probably actually a BitTorrent server. He's actually probably a serverless torrent. One of those cool next-generation torrent files that don't require a tracker to work.
He's a decentralized torrent.
Definitely decentralized torrent. Emphasis on the decentralized.
Yeah, all right.
Well, give the listener a plug where they can find Digital Life TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you, beg you, plead with you, dare you to try DL.TV or DigitalLifeTV.com, a website full of video trying to help you be the best possible tech fan you can be.
Invite you, dare you, beg you. And then it was dare you? Dare you. Okay. Dare you.
Got it.
I like that line.
Feel free to use it.
Hey, thanks again for joining us, Patrick. And
oh, no worries.
Good luck with
my pleasure.
DLTV.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Talk to you later.
Hold on.
Oh,
before you
sorry.
Go, can we get a quick ID?
Absolutely.
All right. Then we'll let you go.
What am I IDing? I have no brain today.
Give us a simple one then. Just this is Patrick Norton from Digital Life TV and Twit or whatever you want to throw in there. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Let me write this down real quick.
Hey, come on. Adam Savage did it in one take.
Yeah, but he's a real professional.
And funny, too.
Ooh!
No, I mean, not... I didn't mean it like that.
We're never getting any more guests.
That was awesome. I can't wait to hear what you guys... I'm going to go listen to all your podcasts and find out if there's slang to be like that. Well, G-rated. Now we got to cut that part, too. Yeah, I was holding it together so well until the last minute. Oh, man.
Open mouth, insert foot.
Hey, look, I got a rule. If I'm going to insert my foot in my mouth all the way to the thigh, man. None of this to the knee business.
Yeah, now you know why he's my co-host.
Working pretty well.
To bring water and food where there is only parched earth. And people where there is desolation. To bring freedom of movement where there are imposing barriers. And commerce where nature has decreed there will be isolation. To bring forth a wealth of materials where there are vast untapped resources. And a wealth of knowledge where there is uncertainty. To perform a multitude of peaceful tasks for the betterment of mankind, man is exploring a source of enormous, potentially useful energy.
It's Eric Larson's Dweeb Thoughts.
He sees the potentials, and he sees the problems. To investigate both and to develop the technology that will turn potentials into realities, the United States is conducting, for the benefit of all nations, a program it calls
The Ericast. From ericast.com. Visit us at www.ericast.com.
Okay, slackers, wake up. It's time to go back to work. Yeah, nice job with Patrick Norton there.
I'm still trying to remove the food out of my mouth.
Real quick, I've got a What the Chuck segment to go. Let's play the...
You better make it quick.
I'm making it quick.
What the Chuck?
All right, this is part of a... part of a top 10 list, but we're only going to do it one item at a time. So we're going to start with number 10. These are the top 10 ways to destroy the Earth, because I was thinking of all the superhero things we've been talking about lately. And I thought, good ways to destroy the Earth. Sounds good to me. Number 10, total existence failure. What you will need to do this? Nothing. The method? There's no method. You just simply sit back, twiddle your thumbs, as completely by chance, all 2 times 10 to the 50th atoms that make up the planet Earth suddenly, simultaneously, and spontaneously cease to exist. Note, the odds against this actually ever occurring are considerably greater than a Googleplex to 1. Failing this, some kind of arcane, read scientifically laughable, probability manipulation device may be employed. Do you have your probability manipulation device handy, Craig?
I left it downstairs.
Okay, then number 10 ain't going to happen until he hauls that baby upstairs.
Shall I go get it?
With that strange thought, we leave you to ponder number 9 through 1, and we will bring those in short segments later. Hey, stick with us. We've got more interviews and stuff. Starting the next show, what is that, 71? We'll be recording that Sunday night. We start a segment with... none other than Steve Wozniak.
Yes.
Now, we have a question for you, the listener, and we'd like your feedback on this, so spend 30 seconds and let us know your feedback on the interviews. Do you like them in these installments? Should we make the segments shorter and string them out over a number of weeks? Craig and I were having a little offline side discussion while Patrick was rambling on, and one thought that also came up was maybe slipping one piece of the interview into the show and then maybe release other pieces during the week in the feed. Not sure how we want to approach this.
Yeah, I was thinking how we would release the first segment in our show, and then maybe because usually they're in 3 parts, and split release the other 2 as like their own little tiny shows during the week.
And so, as always, you can go to the interviews page and click on the link and you get the whole bloody thing in one swell foop.
Yeah, but well, the only reason I suggested about splitting them up a little bit is because it takes up a lot of the show, and I was thinking, you know, I got a lot to talk about, man.
Yes, it does. So. something. Yes, you do. Something to think about for the upcoming week, the weekend.
We'll talk about me and another person.
I think we're gonna leave it at that. Here, it's time for us to run. And have another drink. We want to wish everybody a happy new year. We thank you for listening in 2005, and we look forward to more Technorama fun in 2006. Don't forget, you are part of the show, and here's how to do your part.
You do your part by calling our listener line at 206-222-CHAT, 2428. You can check our website out, as always, at chuckchat.com for links to our forum, swag, webcam, mailing list, wiki, and actually the other podcast that Chuck does. You can email me, Craig, that's K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com, or email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com, or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com.
As always, thank you for listening.
That's right. We appreciate it. Yep.
It's been a fun year. And
you call it what you want.
Binary high five. Raise that finger way up high in the air. And give us that binary high five like you believe it. Ready?
1, 0, 1.
It's easy to do and it exercises one digit.
See you guys next year.
Till next time. Bye now.